You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe they get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here, and I'm especially glad that our guest is here with us today. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I warmly welcome you to our conversation. I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Ah, metaki api. Chantelo waste, nape, chuzi apelo. Quincy, we talk piwaste and machiab. What I said was, greetings, my relatives. My name is Quincy Goodstar, and I greet you with a glad heart and a warm handshake. Hello, everyone.
Hello, and Madomahe, a great big thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Of course. Well, today, we would love to hear about families, how we can build families, make better families, raise our families, have a family by the grace of God. So what does God's grace mean to families?
Oh, all right. I love it. You know, what's interesting is, and by the way, I have no notes in front of me. Just want everybody to know.
I don't either, so.
Yeah, nothing was pre-planned here, you know. We're just having conversations with Dr. Don.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, but what comes to mind is, you know, before the Lord, you know, before he created a government, a nation, he created a family. You know, and there's a beautiful scripture that says, Jesus, he called the 12, he says, that they might be with him.
Mm.
You know, so what he was doing was he wasn't creating workers. Mm. He wasn't creating servants per se. And hey, by the way, we serve, but that isn't our first role.
Mm.
That isn't who we are. Mm. You know, we're sons, we're daughters who happen to serve.
Yeah.
Not the other way around,
mm-hmm.
but he created us that we might be with him. And that is warm. That is something that is family.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, if somebody listening is looking, you know, to be part of a family,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a wonderful scripture in Psalm 68
mm-hmm.
that says that puts the singles in families.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you know what I had said at the beginning in our my Lakota language is that's our traditional Lakota greeting. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's how we introduce ourselves when we're speaking to like a group of people, things like that, and. You know, we say that to introduce ourselves in any other way would be an insult
sure.
to the people. But what it's saying there is that the very first words are greetings, my relatives,
mm-hmm.
my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have another saying in our Lakota language. We say it at the end of prayers. We say it at the end of speaking to groups. We say mitakuyase, and that's two words. And what it means is we are all related,
mm-hmm.
but it means more than that, more than just, hey, we're related. like in English, but it really means like, I need you to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You need me. Like mm-hmm. an ecosystem.
Yes.
Like the tree breathes out the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
We breathe out the CO2. We need
mm-hmm.
each other. We are all related. And if one of us isn't there, then it's not good for all of us. And so it's built into the language,
mm-hmm.
you know, the family. And Jesus, of course, he's tribal.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, and what's interesting about tribal culture is if everybody traced their lineage back far enough,
mm-hmm.
everybody comes from a tribe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Including the Europeans, the tribes in ancient Germania,
mm-hmm.
the Celts, the Picts, you know, these are all tribes, you know,
right.
the Vikings have this tribal mentality
mm-hmm.
of family, and that the perpetuity of the family, the tribe, is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so Jesus, I have a message on my website called Jesus's Tribal Mentality.
Yes.
And so this is how he thinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's beautiful, first of all, because isn't it wonderful to be part of a tribe? That's just a blessing in my life, and I know in yours, to be part of a family, to be loved, to be cared for, and to have people to care for. That's wonderful. And so maybe we should begin at the beginning and start with those people who would like to build a family or be part of the family. What's your advice to singles who are desiring to have a mate and a family of their own?
You know, there is a scripture that says a prudent wife
mm-hmm.
is from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't come from anywhere else.
Right, exactly. That's great.
You know, she doesn't come from self-effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, today, a lot of courting is mm-hmm. is misconstrued. And I think a lot of it is social media is to blame.
Okay.
You know, because
yeah.
you have all these people on there who social media has allowed them to skip the process of being mentored,
mm-hmm.
of being fathered, of being mothered.
Yeah.
And then they jump on there and they just get to spew out whatever's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when nothing has been vetted from their character,
right.
or who is this person? And it's like your average person doesn't even think of that. Like, who is this person accountable to?
Right.
And so we have people on social media, you know, you hear extremes like women never pursue a man and men don't pursue women. It's like you just, you know, it's like, what in the world? And people are listening to these things.
That's right. That's right.
And so, but we got to stick to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my advice, practical wisdom,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it says a prudent wife is from the Lord.
Yes.
So that means, and what's interesting about, you know, the way that the Lord matchmaked
yes.
Adam is, one, he didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and today you can ask,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what I'm saying is, that wasn't his focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he was complete.
Yeah.
You know, and today, a believer, you're complete in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need another person to complete us.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone to be so lonely
mm-hmm.
that they need someone in their life to complete them, or so they think, you know, that relationship is going to go to hell.
Excuse
me.
No,
because,
yeah.
You know, that's the King James Version, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
But because, you know, when you know someone who is, if someone knows they're complete in Jesus, and then and then the other one knows they're complete in Jesus, and you got two complete people in Christ coming together, not perfect people, but complete in Jesus in their believing, now you got something. Because relationships are tough. You know, and people have this, men and women have this idea in their mind that of that perfect person for them, and that person doesn't exist. And I truly believe that that is the trick of the enemy to keep people single, because the enemy knows that two are better than one. That's what the Lord says. Two are better than one. But when somebody thinks, God has this idea, oh, he's going to be this way, he's going to be that way, he's always going to do this for me, and vice versa, and then he's a flawed guy because he's a human being, then all of a sudden they throw him away. But in every relationship, there's always room for faith. Always. And so, but what's interesting about finding someone, if you're a single believer listening, is you find this in the scriptures, that you'll, men in the scripture, they always find their spouse by the well. I mean, it's always by the well. It's very interesting. Moses and then ran into his wife by the well. Isaac, they found her, his wife, by the well. But the well is a picture and a type of the church. You know, so it's interesting. So if the church is a good place to start.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my granddaddy used to say, show me who he runs with and I'll tell you who he is. And I love the idea that you're saying about accountability, you know, because that was always a factor in tribal marriages. You know, people work together to figure out if these people would be good together, or, you know, other people had a say. And I think it's really important to bring back that accountability. And also social media and apps and all those things give the illusion of endless options.
Like, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, oh, well, that guy, he's too short. Let's keep swiping. You know, or let, oh, you know, and people are missing wonderful gems. My dad always says it's fantasy. He says all the movies and social media give everyone an idea of the fantasy, when really it's real life. I mean, real life. Because even if you were perfectly matched, you never had a disagreement, everything about you was perfect, real life would soon come at you, and you'd have something you'd have to face together. And so when you think about our friends that are single, they want to be married, they want to have a family, what's the most important piece of advice you would give them?
You know, trust the Lord. And this is what I mean, because somebody might listen to, oh, yeah, we know that. That sounds pretty watered down. We know that already. But this is what I mean, though. It's, you know, when Abraham sent out his servant to find Isaac a wife, this is what the servant prayed. He asked the Lord to in Hebrew, he asked for kara. And in Hebrew, what that means is put me in the right place at the right time. Because that's something only the Lord can do. And the Lord did. And so my advice would be to ask the Lord, put me in the right place at the right time, and all of a sudden you're in Costco and you bump into somebody and you just start talking about whatever, you know, because if you and I and every believer out there really look back at those Kairos moments, those God moments that only He could schedule, we never tried it. We never tried for it.
Right.
And oftentimes we didn't even know it was happening until it was happening or after it happened.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's what I mean by trust the Lord, to put you in the right place at the right time. And I would say to be patient when even getting to know that person, because I tell my daughters, and all my daughters are adults, and I tell them dating is for data.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to find out if this person is the one for you, because the Lord showed me this, and I never read it anywhere or heard anyone else preach it. But what he said was, you know, when the Lord took the rib from Adam, the scripture says, and then he closed it up.
Yes.
And the Lord did that to show me, make sure that man is a healed man. Make sure he is whole.
Yeah.
And that he's not walking around injured on the inside, you know. And so to make sure that he's healed and whole and healthy.
Yes. Yes, that's wonderful. What a great revelation. That actually, I'm really thankful you shared that. Thank you to the Lord for giving you that revelation. Because when you said trust God, yes, to put you in the right place at the right time, but I think sometimes folks have to trust God when he shuts that door. Like, there's a reason that man isn't texting you back. There's a reason that woman isn't paying you any attention sometimes. You know, and I've seen people push something and then find out, oh, no, that person isn't healed. they're in no way ready for this. And so I think it's wonderful that you shared that revelation with us. I think it's going to help a lot of people that, you know, we're not the hospital. We're not, you know, we can't. No, that's God's job. And so I think it's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And so let's move a little bit forward. You know, we're talking about families and we're talking about people that are, let's say now, they are married. Congratulations. We're so happy for you. And, well, maybe it's not the happily ever after of the romantic comedy movies, right, where everybody is just, they always end with the kiss at the altar. they end and they lived happily ever after. Well, okay, let's talk about marriage. That's a family.
Right. You know, there's so much to say about marriage. You know, but what comes to my mind is, you know, there has been an error in teaching going around in the body of Christ about a married couple. And what that error is I've heard people say, men and women, they say, oh, my husband is the high priest of the home.
Oh,
or he'll say, I'm the high priest of the home. Well, that's actually not even in the Bible. You know, we have one high priest.
Yes.
And that's Jesus. And a lot of times I've seen marriages fail because the man thinks that he's supposed to be the spiritual leader, because that has been hammered on him for decades. You know, where oftentimes, where sometimes the woman is the more spiritual one.
Wow.
And so then, and so, yes, you know, the man leads, you know, but I'm talking about spiritually. And so oftentimes the woman, the wife, is the more spiritual one than the husband. And we even see that in the scriptures. And so I could give some examples about that, about in the scriptures, like Samson's mom. She was more spiritual than the dad. Another one would be I believe it's, anyway, I got to finish this thought. And so sometimes, and we see it today where sometimes the wife is the pastor.
Oh, wow.
And the lead pastor. and the husband is not. But what oftentimes happens because of that teaching, the man thinks, oh, I'm supposed to lead, I'm supposed to lead. Mm-hmm. You know, he ends up falling in condemnation because he thinks he's not what he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. When it's okay that the woman is more spiritual, you know, he could still lead, you know, but when it comes to spiritual matters, you know, oftentimes, you know, the woman is the more spiritual one, but because the man thinks I'm supposed to be and I'm not, he ends up falling into guilt, shame, condemnation, thinking he's not who he's supposed to be, and then that causes a lot of trouble in the marriage. Because really, that teaching has now made him insecure. And then he ends up lashing out at the wife, or the even the wife starts nagging on him to be that because she's maybe more spiritual than him, and she's prodding at him to be that, be more spiritual, be more spiritual. You're supposed to be more spiritual than me. I mean, not exactly saying those things, but you know what I mean. And then that causes issues where, you know, the woman can be the more spiritual one. And of course, the man, you know, because there's roles in leadership. You know, just for example, I know many women who are lead pastors.
Oh, wow.
And their husbands support them. But you know what? He still leads. But when it comes to spiritual insight, you know, if a leader man in the marriage knows that the Lord has that gift in his wife, then that's a smart leader to listen to that wife in that area to come to a decision together and carry it through for Jesus. And so that teaching has happened.
Yeah.
And has torn marriages up. And so, you know, it's when really, you know, I would advise, one thing I would tell people who are praying for a spouse is ask for an equal.
Oh, wow.
And a partner, you know, not someone who you're just going to tell what to do all the time. Because the scripture actually says submitting one to another.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the husband and the wife submit to each other. And so it's not the man ramrodding the whole thing. And that has torn marriages apart.
Yes. And I wonder if sometimes it's even prevented marriages. You know, I mean, there are women I know who don't want to be mistreated, who don't want to marry someone that's going to treat them in certain ways. I mean, and then I've even heard women say, I can do bad by myself. I'm like, no, we don't want you to do bad.
Right.
We want you to have a lovely, happy life. But they've heard these kinds of teachings, and they feel like somehow having a man in their life will diminish them in some way. They won't get to use their gifts and talents, or they won't meet their goals, or somehow this man will not be kind and merciful to them. And it breaks my heart. I hate to, I mean, I'm just so sad when I hear that kind of thing, because I think that, you know, God gave us marriage. You know, he invented it, and he loves us. I don't think he invented it to make everyone miserable.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, but today, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say another issue is today marriage has been cheapened.
Yes.
You know, somebody, one of the other things I do is I present and teach Lakota Sioux history, culture, music, that kind of thing. For educators, for different, for law enforcement groups, you name it. And somebody had said to me, another educator, Lakota educator, they said to me that, they said, you know, Quincy, we didn't have, we're just discussing history. Mm-hmm. And he said, they said, we didn't have marriage.
Oh.
And we didn't have that kind of thing. Like they do today with the vows and doing this and doing that. And what came out of my mouth to them is I told them, I said, actually, I said, what we had in our Lakota culture was weightier than what you see today.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our tribal culture, you had to prove yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You had to put skin in the game, so to speak. You had to buy your way in.
Ours too.
You had to prove yourself with a dowry. You had to prove yourself as a man, not just to that woman, but to her family.
Yes.
Family had to approve of you. And so this was weightier. You had to pay a lot to get into this covenant. Mm-hmm. And then today, it's the exact opposite in our American culture.
Right.
You know, you pay nothing to get in.
Right.
And then you pay to get out.
That's, you know, I really appreciate you sharing so much of this with us because I think it's important. I really do. I think we have to, you know, we have the popular culture telling us one thing, but sometimes we have to pause and you just go, hey, look, we're going to start with Jesus. We're going to start with what he teaches us and what he says. And, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we're going to start with the Word. What does God say about these things? Not music, not a movie, not TV shows, not reality people, reality show people, but really, what does Jesus have to say about these things? And they're so important. As we go to break right now, I want to congratulate you on some really good news and give our friends a chance to download and find your newest platform.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Pray.com. Yes. Quincy Good Star Ministries is now on Pray.com.
Oh, praise God.
And if you go to Pray.com, you can download the app as well. And in the search, just hit search Quincy Good Star, or you can go to Pray.com/QGSM. And it'll pull us up, and there's exclusive content on there that we have not and will not release anywhere else. It'll be exclusive on there, and so we're very thankful for that blessed open door to for the gospel of grace to continue to spread.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, find us on there, hit follow, and every time we put something new on there, which is going to be often, you'll get a notification right on your phone. Boom, QGSM uploaded a new video, uploaded a new message. And so, and there are gems on there. Like right now, I think there's a message on there called A Believer Cannot Be Cursed.
Oh, wow.
And it comes out from the scriptures on how that is. And so that's just one right off the top of my head. And so there, more will be put on there all the time.
Wonderful. Well, we'll look at that while we listen to this. And when we come back, let's talk about parenting, children, and families. We'll be right back.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back. What's the world forgave you?
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback. Providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just gonna drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on man, let's put a ride home.
And you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard, they pray hard. And never look back once the war forgets.
Oh, I am truly loving this conversation. I'm enjoying every minute that we get to spend with our friend and guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes. How metaki api? Tentelo waste, nape chuziapelo, quincy wichakfi waste, emachiab. Greetings, my relatives. I greet you with a warm heart, glad heart, and a warm handshake. My name is Quincy Goodstar. That's what I said.
How wonderful. That is marvelous. Thank you for being with us today. How can folks follow you and maybe join in what you're doing and support and partner with it?
I believe the best way would be go to QuincyGoodstar.com. And from there, you can go to our Facebook page, our YouTube. We are now on Pray.com. And follow us and subscribe to us on there. And you'll get notifications when new content is uploaded. And also, we are on the Alpha Omega Broadcasting Network, which is a television program that we have, and we are getting ready, actually, to expand to over the state of Ohio and Michigan.
Wow, congratulations, and we praise God for the wonderful things that he's doing. We believe you'll do many more great things, and you'll succeed in them all because of the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. We have we have a wonderful opportunity to talk about families, but I just really feel in my spirit that I would be so honored if you would just pray right now for the singles who are desiring to have a spouse and get married and have a family. We're talking about wonderful things, but we should pray about them too, I feel. So will you pray for our single friends? They want spouses. They're desiring a family. Let's help them.
Oh, yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, you say in your word, in Psalm 68, that you put solitary, you put the single in families. And so, Father, right now, bless all those desiring a spouse with Kara to put them in the right place, the right time, and matchmake them with a partner, with an equal, who's full of wisdom and will help them, and they can help each other and love each other and submit one to another. And Father, we thank you for it, and thank you for doing it quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Quincy. And now, let's talk about families in terms of parents and children. What is your wisdom for those families, those people who are desiring to have children?
You know, if someone is desiring to have children and you can't have children, so the doctor said, you know, there's a beautiful scripture. The Lord, he says that he causes the barren woman to keep house. And so that means that Jesus, he will heal your body, touch your body supernaturally to give you a family. And so, and we're going to pray for that before the end of the program. But if that is your situation, believe Jesus just for that. And a lot of times, you know, I hear like young families that say, yeah, you know, we want kids, but we're waiting until we get to this financial place. Or with marriage, people say that, well, we're dating, we know we're the one, but we're waiting for these finances. And if you're in that situation, I want to encourage you.
Yeah.
For those of you who are engaged, God told you he's the one. God told you she's the one. Or you're waiting to have children, married already, to get to a certain place with your finances. Go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And depend on Jesus to provide the finances.
Yes.
The Lord already says you're rich in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he will overprovide for your every need. So you don't have to go by what you see.
And right. So, amen.
Yes, he will overprovide for that family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I'm so thankful you said that, too, because I think that there'll always be obstacles and roadblocks and delays and hindrances, you know, until we make those quality decisions that we're going forward with God. Let's pray for those folks. Everyone who wants a child, maybe they have a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Maybe they've had a child and they have secondary infertility and they're having trouble expanding their family. Would you please pray for all who are desiring children?
Yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, you say in your word that you cause the barren to keep house. And so, Father, right now, Father, supernaturally, Father, give these families children. And Father, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, those who are looking to get married, Father, thank you, Father, for overproviding for the finances for their every need. And Father, thank you for bringing it about in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now let's talk to the families that have those precious bundles of joy. They have children, and now they want to raise them to be part of a godly family. They want to raise them by the grace of God.
But when it comes to discipline, you know, what I would do, and I've shared this in many messages as well, I've a message called Parenting with Grace, by Grace. And it's Paul's way of correcting people. And his way of correcting the most corrupt church, the Corinthian church, where people are in sexual immorality and people are getting drunk, and his way of correcting them is he reminded them of who they are. Not who they're supposed to be, not who they're trying to be, who they are. And he said, don't you know who you are, that you are the temple? And since you are the temple, why would you give yourself to a harlot? And so I would tell my daughter growing up, and she may do something wrong, and I would tell her, hey, you know, you're a Jesus girl. And Jesus girls, you know, they do this. Jesus girls, they don't like that. They do this. And to this day, you know, she was just telling me not too long ago, somebody heard one of my messages, and we were at a speaking event conference somewhere, and somebody, one of the people there had asked her, I heard this message, and your dad said this about you growing up. Would he really say that to you? And she started smiling real big, and she said, oh, yes, and gave her examples, gave them examples of her being reminded that she's a Jesus girl. And so that's correction, scriptural correction.
That's wonderful. And I love that because, you know, Paul was able to make people sorry with a letter. He didn't have to hurt them physically. He literally was able to write to them and use words in such a way that they were able to reflect on who they were called to be and evaluate whether they were measuring up or not. And I love the faith in that approach you had to your daughter. You believed in her. You saw her as she was created to be, and she saw herself that way. And that's a beautiful way to live and to grow up. So when we have so many pressures from the outside, I mean, think about all the popular culture and the things that are happening in schools, and, you know, parents are super busy, and sometimes the mom and dad both work, and sometimes multiple jobs, everything. There's a lot of pressure coming at families right now. How can we help them with the grace of God?
You know, how do I say this? You know, condemnation, and this might sound strange at first, but condemnation is the root of all of the, is the root of all of our problems.
Okay.
And I have a message on how that is, but what I mean is, let's say you have a father, and he's working 60 hours a week. So he's doing something good. He's doing this out of love. He's supporting his family. But yet he feels guilty because he's not spending enough time with his family. But it's only because he's working so hard for them. And so then he falls into guilt, condemnation. And then, of course, we know that results in frustration, anxiety, maybe emotional outbursts here and there, health issues, ulcers, high blood pressure. And all the while, he's doing something good. And so the key is to rest in Jesus' promises. One, that he is providing for you. That job isn't the source. By all means, hey, work, have a job. I work, I have a job. You know, by all means, do that, but not out of stress and unrest. You know, at the same time, depending that Jesus is the source, that he is the provision, that he is the foundation of that marriage, that family. And so that he promises that he will, you know, that he promises that, hey, you have divine health. you know, all of these things and more.
Mm-hmm.
Because what usually puts stress on a marriage is problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And problems will be there. But if that couple is able to stand in the midst of that storm, knowing that the storm is no threat because we have Jesus, you know what? It'll be okay. But a lot of the times, you know, relationships, marriages fail not for a lack of trying. Actually, because of the exact opposite, because there's a whole lot of trying going on. And mm-hmm. so you hear one say to the other, well, I do this, I do that, I. You know, it sounds like a whole lot of trying.
Yes.
You know, but there's a difference between trying and trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so those problems, knowing that these problems are no problems for Jesus.
Yes.
Every relationship is going to have its problems and its issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant earlier in the conversation, when people have this, men and women have this image in their mind that they're going to meet this perfect somebody, and then
yeah.
a problem comes up, and then they jump ship. But
yeah.
what they really don't realize is problems will be there.
Right. Right.
But being able to weather those problems and being able to disagree healthy and let it go. And even sometimes agree to disagree and carry on. And so, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, single people have problems too, right? It's always amazing to me that people complain about, you know, oh, well, I didn't think I'd have all these problems in this relationship, and yet they have problems too. And so that's just a human condition in a fallen world. You know, things are going to happen, or some things are just no ox, no stall, right? If you have no ox, your stall is clean, but much is gained by the strength of the ox. And so some things, you know, bills just happen. They just do. I mean, if you want certain things in your life, you're going to have to do them or to pay for them, or they're just a part of being alive. And I've seen people make those into monumental problems and really compromise a wonderful relationship about something that, you know, really they could have worked on and worked through together. So I love your perspective, and I'm thankful for you sharing it, because we're not hearing that in the outside world and popular culture.
Yeah, you know, people need to learn how to argue. That
yeah.
sounds weird,
mm-hmm.
but,
yeah.
you know, some people, they argue ugly,
mm-hmm.
where they're not arguing to come to a solution. They're just arguing to be right.
They're fighting, yeah.
And that has to be tossed out when you're in a relationship, when anyone's in a relationship. You don't argue to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're conversing to come to a resolution. And sometimes that takes compromise. And sometimes, and I think that somebody can only relate to what I'm about to say if they've been in that situation, but sometimes a situation comes up where you have a choice to act in love or be right.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that sounds strange unless you've been there.
Uh-huh.
And so, and of course, the right choice is to act in love.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know, it makes me think of the woman caught in adultery.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would it have been right for them to stone her?
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the law said. It would have been right. But what does love say?
Mhm.
Same
yeah.
thing with Joseph. Thank God Joseph was a man of grace.
Oh, yeah.
Because the law said, hey, that he had a right to put Mary to death. I mean, to stone her. She's pregnant out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
And that nobody knew it was of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but her.
But her. Mm-hmm.
But he was, but praise the Lord, he was a man of grace and love and said, you know what? I'm just going to put her away quietly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, today, people would blast it all over social media.
Yeah,
look
right.
what my ex did.
Yeah. Make a country music song about it.
Right.
Right. And I'm thinking about one time I was telling my my granddaddy, and he pastored our church. He was he lived to be 100. He pastored most of his life, and he was married to Granny Patsy almost all of his life. They met as children. And I was telling him about something, and I was right. I really was right. And he said, "Well, honey, you are right, but do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?" Mm. And I thought, oh, wow, when you put it like that, you know, it was a little less important for me to be right that day. And I love that thinking, because you're right. All of us are going to need grace. We're just going to do something where, you know, our families, our partners, our community, somebody's going to have to extend grace to us. And so there are those moments then where we have to exchange our own position of rightness for, as you said, acting in love. And so when we have, wow, we have so many wrong voices, bad advice. You know, my brother used to call it the bad advice factory. There's just tons of people waiting to give us wrong advice, bad advice on every level of marriage and family, just all of it, dating, all of it, just bad advice is out there. How do we decide what the advice is that we should follow?
You know, James, he wrote, he said, the wisdom, because it's interesting, when James talks about wisdom, and I believe it's in chapter 3 of James, but anyway, it's in James. He says there's actually two different kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom that's demonic and wisdom that's from above. Mm-hmm. But the wisdom that he talks about that's from above, he says, is first peaceable and pure, willing to yield. You know, and that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, not wanting to be right, but willing to be willing to yield, you know. And of course, it brings about peace. If it brings about peace, you know, you know, like that love, you know, I think that chances are it's wisdom from above.
I love that. And that's just perfect. Thank you so much. Well, something that you said, well, everything that you said, I know is helping our friends that listen. I know it is. I believe, God, that it is. But I wonder how you feel about families, like just families. What does a family look like? How is a family that's founded on the gospel of grace different from just a family, a random family that isn't?
You know, I'm just going to say this and see how it lands. I think that, you know, a family that is founded on the gospel of grace doesn't look at each other's faults and flaws and doesn't look at what they think that they're supposed to. You know, not looking at their lack, which actually, looking at people that way creates division and even creates resentments. You know, this is why we have issues between fathers and sons.
Oh, okay.
So, between mothers and daughters, or in vice versa, brothers and sisters, you know, that they think that person didn't measure up.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? And maybe even if they didn't, if that person is a person of grace, undeserved favor, of wisdom, of understanding, they know that there's some things that were going on in that person that brought them to that place of thinking and behavior that really was no fault of their own. So how could they be blamed? But we give them grace instead. And then love is perpetuated because they might not be who they're supposed to be in their character. But yet we can love them into that place of transformation and integrity. Because people rise to the level of, one, how they're treated and who they think they are.
Oh, my. That'll preach.
Oh, yeah.
I am so so glad that you're saying that. Please continue.
Oh, so when somebody's heart is established in grace,
mm-hmm.
oh man, then there's love there as the foundation. You know, whereas the opposite of that would be, law as the foundation. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to be. And then there goes the problem. And you hear that children say that to parents, I was never good enough in your eyes. Comments like that. When the household wasn't ruled with love and grace, but it was ruled by law and regulation. And so, and by all means, yes, we have rules for the house, but that's not our guiding light. Our guiding light will cause keep the rules. When the rules, keeping the rules is just a fruit of guiding them by grace and love.
Well, as we think about families and we think about the grace of God in families, folks might be listening right now and thinking, uh-oh, they don't have the family that they know they can have in grace and in the presence of God. Would you pray for our friends who are listening and their families, please?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, pour out your undeserved favor, your love, on and over every family under the sound of my voice. Father, thank you for over-providing for their every need, quelling their every stress and worry. And Father, thank you for replacing all of that with peace, with joy. Mm-hmm. And Father, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. That is. And our friends who listen, 160 countries, all 50 states in the United States, they may be realizing just right now that they want to go with Jesus. All of this, in the promises of God, the wonderful blessings of being in Christ. And maybe we need to have an altar call. Would you invite some of the folks who are listening to go with Jesus?
Yes. If you would love to be righteous as a gift, to be in Jesus, for there to be nothing between you and the Lord, therefore, what would God not do for you?
Mm.
Just repeat after me. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Forgive me of every wrong, every sin.
Forgive me of every wrong, every sin.
And fill me with your Spirit.
And fill me with your Spirit.
And teach me to rest in your love.
And teach your me grace. To rest in your love, your grace.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen. Oh, how wonderful. Welcome to the family. And if someone
yes.
who has prayed and listened and it wants to be part of your ministry and what you're doing, how can they do that?
Yes, please. We'd love to be connected. Go to QuincyGoodStar.com. You can connect with us from there through Facebook, through YouTube, through Pray.com. Follow us and subscribe through there and stay in touch.
How wonderful. Oh, that's absolutely perfect. Pastor Quincy, we have enjoyed every moment with you so thoroughly, and we know you're busy, and we appreciate you giving us your time and bringing us the gospel of grace. All of our friends who listen, we love you. The folks that sponsor and donate, the platforms, the prayer warriors, all of you mean so much to us, and we never forget you, those of you who have done anything kind for us ever. We thank God for you because you didn't have to do it, but you did. And because you did, here we are. So we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you so much. And I cannot wait until we're all together for another conversation with Dawn Karima. I'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the war forgave you.
She is silent, it's getting old. princesa.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.